between the nature of the self, false doctrine, and so on. Another thing that an individual has to have an understanding of is that love is the physical as an embodiment. If we go back to 1850 with Madame Blavatsky, Madame Blavatsky was simply saying that if science and technology does not develop a viable spirituality, the end result is self-destruction, either of the planet itself, and this has happened in the past, asteroids are a direct result of a science and technology developed unmitigated without a viable spirituality, and the planet has been blown to bits by the science and technology. We are at a point now to where we have the ability to blow this planet to bit by testing. All we have to do is test a hydrogen bomb, which is 50 times more powerful than a nuclear warhead. That's where we find ourselves. The other thing is that Jacques Cousteau was of the opinion 50 years ago that if we don't make fundamental changes, we will either pollute the planet out of existence or blow it up in 75 years. That was Jacques Cousteau's opinion. Every single human being on the surface of this planet is responsible for what he or she feels, senses, thinks, and envisions within the composition of God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Id, which are the name of the Creator and that which brought us to life, and our Mother and Father, which gives us our sense of issues and talents. In one sense, all we're doing is we're resolving our issues, developing our talents from a perspective of conscious awareness that culminates as path, as purpose, as the contribution one makes. It only matters. It only has a relevance within the context of what is shared. And an individual has a responsibility of sharing who he or she is from a perspective of what is felt, sensed, thought, and envisioned in one sense. That's all we do. We feel according to the mind. We sense according to the body. We think according to the spirit. And we are conscious according to the universe or the soul. Part of the work is simply coming to a point in which we are love that understands, light that is wise. The other interesting thing about love is it's accepting of across the board. Light is even-minded. So the work that we're doing is love accepts and understands, light is even-minded and wise about, and from the perspective of the life that we're living, we're then making a contribution according to those aspects from the perspective of the will of God as the mind and the consciousness of all that is as the soul. If we go into the idea of what's ascending is the will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, universe as mind, body, spirit, soul, the work that we're doing is having an understanding of that and the wisdom of that so that we can contribute to others from that. If the work is done entirely or completely, an individual will accomplish four states. One is God consciousness. The second is enlightenment. The third is miracle-mindedness, and the fourth is universal conscious awareness. According to God is, I am all that is. One of the curiosities is that the work simply involves, can an individual move from something negative in 5 minutes or less? One of the things that I have learned is this thing is a 24-hour process. Everything. If an individual has a prayer, that prayer needs to be restated every 24 hours. If an individual wants to clean or cleanse negative energy absorbed and grounded in the body, it needs to be done every 24 hours. If negative energy is allowed to build over time, it becomes sickness, it becomes disease, and then it culminates in the death experience. Every single human being on the surface of this planet has an opportunity of understanding who they are within the composition of life as it is. At times, this is not easy because there is so much out there that has convinced us that life is other than contrary, confrontational within the context of human beingness. And the systems, theories of science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine exist for the invader culture mindset so that everything is antagonistic to being a human being according to the design. the simplicity of the process is simply knowing the self according to the design. Serving others as the positive, path, or maybe that's positive path, and then aspiring to collectively ascend. That's it. Everything, every organism is evolving to the point to where there could be self-awareness. According to the Ra, who built the pyramids way back when, their development through discipline was awareness, growth, self-awareness, love or understanding, light or wisdom, unity of light, love at sixth density, gateway, and then according to the Ra, the eighth aspect, put it that way, but the eighth level of existence is something that they do not plumb. What I understand about that is that there's reintegration back into that which gave rise to the entire creation, which can be thought of as all-encompassingness or the realness of God. It is a curious thing, and in some ways it's a daunting task, because if an individual wants to be God-conscious, if an individual wants to be enlightened, if an individual wants to be miracle-minded at the same level of Jesus, if an individual wants to be universally consciously aware, it behooves the individual to understand what the will of light and consciousness is of God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Yid, mom and dad. Those eight aspects or states compose the nature of the self across the board. Most people never get past mom and dad as issues and talents. There are a whole bunch of people that don't take the time to resolve issues that act as catalyst only. There are a lot of people on the surface of this planet that don't take the time to develop talents so they have something that they can contribute to the talent that they develop. A talent is simply the application of self within the composition or constitution of something that allows them to do something useful in their relationship to others. And by useful, I mean like being a plumber, being an electrician, being a musician, something that can be performed in a given way that facilitates the life of others in some way or not. Humanly, we don't do a very good job of resolving things that have been plaguing this planet for a long time. Part of it is because we don't take the time to understand the invader culture mindset. There's a book that I wrote, probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, sometime in the past, called Invading the Indigenous, Why the Rest of Us Watch. In that book, I simply explain what the invader culture mindset is, what the indigenous way of life is, and then what the arbitrariness of everyone else. The invader culture mindset and the indigenous way of life compose less than 1% of the human population. The other 99% pertain to the arbitrariness of where anything goes. There are three veils that the person comes into this life with. There's the veil of access to God, there's the veil of confusion, and there's the veil of forgetfulness. The veil of confusion is also referred to as the law of free will. And the veil of confusion has to do specifically about life, what it means, what it is, how it works, and how it evolves into that which ascends. According to Edgar Cayce, there were 7 root races created at the same time. The Inuit in Alaska were a root race. The Native Americans in North America were a root race. The Mayans and Aztecs were a root race. The Aborigine in Australia were a root race, and then there was also root races in Asia, Europe. One of the things that we don't do a very good job with within the context of our humanity is we don't pay attention to the details that work within the composition or constitution of the life as the image and likeness of. True, it is. There are lots and lots of details out there, but it's very, very difficult to sift through what they are so that we have a working knowledge of what works within the context of our life and the life of others. So we are faced with a very daunting thing. What is it to be spiritual? Spirituality is a means of the life of. The spirit is that which brings to life a given life form. And on this planet, there are 10 million life forms, and they're all brought together or brought to life by the same spirituality. Every fish, every bird, every beetle, every bug, every tree, every plant, every mammal, every reptile lives by the same spirit. In 1850, Madame Blavatsky wrote about spirituality. Mary Baker Eddy in 1866 created Christian Science, where she talks about it's not matter, it's mortal error. It is all spiritual that is only spiritual. Spirituality is the life of. So basically the warning was, way back in 1850, was that if science and technology does not have a spirituality to it, it simply means that the end result will be self-destruction. So this is what we have. We have 165 years of unabated science and technology that has no spiritual basis at all. And what that means is that it's very, very possible that the end result of that is going to be destruction of the planet. Now, if we go back far enough to in the historicity of this planet, if we take Mars into consideration and Venus into consideration, we find some interesting details. Venus is the brightest thing in the night sky because the Ra collectively ascended from Venus about 5 million years ago. Mars, which also had a bellicose culture to it, created the circumstance in which life could not sustain itself any longer, and they were transplanted to planet Earth. And I believe that that which was transplanted from Mars to this planet, because they self-destructed the environmental aspect of Mars, is the Asian race, meaning India, China, Cambodia, North and South Korea, Vietnam, Japan, Bhutan, Nepal, and so on. We don't do a very good job of paying attention to the details of what works. Part of our responsibility is letting go of negativity, developing a positive mindset, and it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, as long as you're alive process. One of the things that everybody on the surface of this planet has an opportunity to do is move from the past, present, and future bound into that which is self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating as the instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. If an individual does that, the aging process stops. I was told in 1982 by a psychic that I was going to live longer than I thought humanly possible, and I will take my body with me when I go. I was shown this at age 5. And what I've come to understand is I will live to be approximately 970 to 1,000 years, because that's the original design. It's in the Bible. It's also in the raw material. It doesn't take that much work to simply have a discipline that's based upon meditation, talents, and then contribution. In my life, it's meditation, written and read books, vision boards, in which I simply have visual aspects of what I want within the context of my experience. Within the context of written and read books, it's simply educating people into the nature of the self, contribution, and ascension. One of the things an individual has the opportunity to do is, instead of going to the Himalayas or going to the Sierra Nevadas or going to the Alps or going to different mountains on this planet, is to simply attain the level of social awareness, conscious awareness of which one is sitting on the mountain where they are, and it can be any place on the planet. That's one of the experiences that I have had going back about 30 years ago, as I had the experience of knowing that I'm on the mountaintop in which I'm unaffected by lower levels of consciousness. It's not that difficult to do. The other interesting thing is the work never ends. There never comes a point in time in which an individual attains a level of consciousness that's it. The mistake that Hindus make is thinking that bliss consciousness is it. Bliss is a beginning. Bliss as joy, which fills the heart, is a beginning state of consciousness. It begins the process. Joy becomes love that fills the body. Joy, love fills the head with light, and then joy as the heart. Love as the body, light as the head, is surrounded by consciousness. And that makes an individual who they are within the composition of the design. And then the only thing that an individual has to do is make a contribution to other as and through that. It's the only responsibility that we have. It's curious to me that more people on this planet are interested in repeating third density. More people are interested in birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation than simply oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. There's only God-like human beingness, service, oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. Eight words. God, life, Christ as human beingness, service, oneness, healing, wholeness, ascension. Those eight words take care of everything within the composition or constitution of life. Eight words. You don't need books. You don't need teachers. You don't need teachings. All an individual has to work with is God, life, human beingness as the Christ, serving others as the positive path, oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. So what you have is the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves. Service polarity is the only thing that evolves humanly or otherwise. The only thing that matters within the composition and constitution of our life experience is the contribution that we make to others, because they are simply an extension and expansion of who we are within a medium that's infinite. Infinity means variable and variety of that which remains constant. God is the constancy that never changes. So the opportunity is that how does an individual within the composition or constitution of his or her life get to a point to where they understand the nature of the self according to its design, serving others, and aspiring to collectively ascend? That's it. Nothing else matters because nothing else exists outside of that. And true it is that every single human being is absolutely entitled to his or her life according to faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, karma, and in my case, meditation, written and read books, and vision boards. It's one of the curious things. If you look at faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, and karma, those are kind of fixed. When it comes to the individual, the next three things are going to differ from person to person to person to person to person. And I have other things that I'm interested in. I'm interested in getting a lot of T-shirts off of the ground. I'm interested in the book deal because of the books that I write. I'm interested in playing music on a professional level and so on. Those are part of what my faith, desire, trust, patience, and intention is, to have that kind of an experience within the context of my human beingness. One of the things that's useful is to simply pay attention to the details so that what is real and what is true is the life that an individual is being, knowing, sharing, and ascending. And so when we think about the nature of the show according to only fear dies, love only ascends, I said, what are we applying ourselves to? And is the individual, through the work that they do, going to get to a point to where they ascend, taking the body with them, rather than dying of the body because of lack of spirituality, lack of conscious awareness, lack of spiritual discipline, and so on? And it's not easy, because almost every single human being since the beginning, which is 75,000 years of history, has basically died, leaving the body behind. And so what an individual is faced with is that if the death of the body takes place, the soul will reincarnate. And that goes for every single human being. If Jesus left the body behind, Jesus will have to reincarnate. If Paramahansa Yogananda left the body behind, Paramahansa Yoga will have to reincarnate, because death of the body is reincarnation of the soul. And from the perspective of each, they are identical. The soul technically dies to its universality, just as the body dies to its physicality. And that's not natural to the design. So why is it that so many people within the composition or constitution of this planet go through the process of birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, or, as Mary Baker Eddy wrote, sin, sickness, disease, and death? She wrote about it, but she didn't overcome it. She basically stated in Science and Health, which was her holy text, that there is no sin, sickness, disease, or death. They're an illusion, and this is true. The natural state is health and vitality, wholesomeness. So where did we go astray? Well, we went astray because the warlord God Jehovah showed up and converted one group of people to his chosen people, and then implemented hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, under the blanket of conquering, enslaving, and destroying, practiced as war, greed, and class distinction, which are the great fictions. Within a medium that is infinite, nothing is greater or lesser than anything else. A grain of sand has as much relevance and realness as a person, place, or thing. There aren't grades of value within the composition or constitution of the universe. There is simply God's idea or ideal of itself as a diversification. God's original state is all-encompassing, which is universal. All-encompassing is uniform and constant and doesn't change. So the inverse reversal of all-encompassingness is infinity, which is where the universe is. Within the composition or constitution of the universe is conscious awareness. When it gets to the level of self-awareness, then it becomes an interesting thing, because then an individual has a choice to make about what everything else is. God is I am. All that is the only statement that truly exists. God is I am. All that is. I amness is any state that exists as something or someone. Every species on this planet is the I amness of God. Every sun, every moon, every planet, every solar system, every galaxy is the I amness of God. And then you get to a very interesting thing, all that is, infinity, universality, consciousness. It becomes a very interesting thing. And it's curious, because one of the things that we do is we do a very, very good job of coming from a place of exclusion, negation and aversion to God, life, and human beings, rather than inclusion of God, affirmation of life, and involvement with the human ideal as it is and exists. The only idea that matters when it comes to people is I am you and you are me. Another useful idea is I only recognize in others what I'm guilty of myself. Because the simple fact of the matter is that every single man is the same ideal. Every single woman is the same ideal. One of the things that becomes a daunting thing is every single human being on the surface of this planet has to get past or over race consciousness, gender disparity, the idea of family being specific to the individual through mom and dad. The simple fact is this. The Christ doesn't mean the collective consciousness of humanity living a single ideal that allows for individuality, universality within the context of differentiation. Because the universe is simply the differentiation of God's all-encompassingness into that which is infinite, eternal, complete, and total as is. One way of understanding the nature of the self is you have the infinite mind, the eternal body, the complete spirit, and the total conscious soul. That's one way. Infinity, eternity, completeness, totality, as mind, body, spirit, soul, as it pertains to will, love, light, and consciousness, as it corresponds to God, universe, Yahweh, Id. And one of the things that I have found useful is that if I look at the sun, the earth, and the universe, they are pictographs, if you will. They are visual representations of what the mind is and does, the body is and does, the spirit is and does, and what the soul is and does, as that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses. And how that can be understood is the heart radiates, the body absorbs, the head illuminates, and the soul as consciousness, as universe, encompasses. It's one way of understanding the design. Remember this. Every single idea has an infinite number of variables to it, has an infinite number of variables. It's kind of like forks. An individual could literally come up with a different idea of fork for an infinite number of times. A useful exercise. Take an idea and see how many versions of that idea that you can come with, and an individual will usually run out after about 10, 15, 20, 35. We'll try doing it 1,000 times or 100,000 times or a million times, coming up with a new idea, a new idea, a new idea, a new idea. It becomes a daunting thing. It can become exhausting. One of the things that is useful is can we simply feel comfortable as the human being that we are? Can we enjoy ourselves some of the time? Can we come to a point to where we feel our life has greater relevance than the silliness that we personified within the context of hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, war, greed, and class distinction? Or can we realize that there's a lot more to conscious awareness than science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine? Because they are antithetical to human being. Those are the seven traditions of the systems theories of the invader culture mindset in its entirety. And there is going to come a point in time in the historicity of this planet involving humanity in which the invader culture mindset, like the dinosaurs, becomes extinct. And it will take every single human being with it when it goes. If an individual is overly tied to science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, because here's the tidbit, the indigenous way of life did not have science, did not have religion, did not have education, did not have business, did not have politics, did not have law, did not have medicine. It didn't have any of those things, and it got along just fine. At one time in the historicity of the indigenous way of life, there was no disease in the body of those that were living that way because it is natural to the body to be disease-free. So we have to ask ourselves, well, where did it come from? Well, there's a very, very strong argument that an individual could make that every single disease of affliction affecting the body is man-made by someone at some time and then deliberately introduced to the human population. That was the case with AIDS in 1984. It was created by a Dr. Gould in 1984, and the Reagan administration decided to deliberately introduce it into African populations and gay populations under the pretense that they were going to eliminate the African woman and eliminate gays. That's the agenda of AIDS as a process, just so you know. And it goes from there. You know, stop and think about all of the negative things that are taking place on the surface of this planet within the context of the life of people who choose to conduct their affair this way. Now, there's nothing inappropriate or wrong with that. Every single individual is entitled to what they choose to feel, sense, think, and envision. An individual has just as much right to be negative as a person has to do with being arbitrary or being positive. I personally have been working on being positive for about 40 years. I've been on the positive path for 50 years. I asked two questions when I was 5 years old. What makes me the image and likeness of God, and how does one live his or her life as the image and likeness of God? And I asked that question when I was five, and I've spent the last 54 years answering those two questions. The information that I share is simply what has come to me as it corresponds to human beingness. And I'm not interested in anything else, because I find anything else is simply more a figment of the imagination, is a fiction, is a contrived silliness, if you will, than anything else. One of the curiosities is that within the composition or constitution of this planet, we are only here to get along. We are only here to be kind. And yet when we look at what we pay attention to 24/7, it's more silliness than it is anything else, which is really, really curious, because it's just as easy to be kind and nice as it is anything else. And yet when we look at the systems theories that people practice, it's very convoluted, it's very odd, it's very strange. And yet that's the way that it's been for about, oh, I guess maybe 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, thousands of years. We haven't changed humanly ever since the warlord God Jehovah showed up and took possession of the people and converted us from a peaceful into war, greed, and class distinction. And it's curious how many people on the surface of this planet subscribe to the idea of war, greed, and class distinction as opposed to anything else. And so the curiosity is that there's this great disparity that exists on the surface of this planet between people. You have people that are starving to death, literally, and you have people living in extreme opulence. There are billionaires, and then there are people that are lucky to eat once or twice a month, which is a curious thing. that we have this extreme, when the fact of the matter is that there's only evenness within the context of the process, so that there aren't extremes from a perspective, so there isn't unresolved bipolar, which a lot of people are being diagnosed as on the planet these days. I just had a friend of mine that spent time in a hospital because she had supposedly bipolar syndrome, if you will, and now she's on medication and walking around like a zombie without her realizing, and this lady's in her late 60s, that anger as rage. I started at age 10, and I had a violent temper when I was a child and in my teen years and 20s and 30s, and it took me 36 years working on it from age 10 to age 46. And now, fortunately, things, yes, they do upset me, but I don't flip out. I don't get violent. I don't get enraged. Because I knew when I was 10 years old that if I didn't do something about my rage, I was going to either kill myself or kill somebody else or both. And how many times do we see or hear in the news somebody flipping out and killing a bunch of people and then killing themselves or being killed? And it's like, boom, a person gets enraged. And the simple fact of the matter is that anger as a process is a form of selfishness and inconsideration when it gets to the level of violence. In one sense, people have the opportunity of looking at lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, intolerance, and resolving every one of them. Another gestalt that an individual has the opportunity of examining is pain that becomes fear, that is masked by anger, that is masked by hatred, that becomes one of two things, violence or depression, or both, leading to suicide. And suicide is simply another name for the death experience. And every death on this planet is done by one's own hand. It is self-induced, if you will. And then there's the flip side. There's the option. Does an individual want to ascend, taking his or her body with him or her when he or she goes? And the only thing that happens is an individual goes from a planetary state of existence to a universal conscious state of existence. And the reason why the body takes is because it's only the body that has the ability or capacity within the psychology of the individual to ascend to a different level of existence. It can be thought of as the Immaculate Conception conversion experience, which does not take place in the crotch of a woman. It takes place in the heart between God and the soul. That's the Immaculate Conception conversion experience. It doesn't take place within the context of the sperm and egg. God did not fornicate with Mary way back when. Sorry to burst your bubble. God did not. It doesn't take place that way. What happens is God is a state that waits to be brought to life, and the only thing that brings it to life is soul as consciousness. That incarnates, if you will, into the original state and condition of God. It's like a little tiny sun body within the heart, and then it converts an individual into a God-conscious state of being. It becomes enlightened, becomes miracle-minded, and then becomes universally conscious aware. And that's the contribution that an individual makes to himself or herself, to others. Process. One of the most interesting visions that I have been giving within the composition or constitution of the nature of the self is that the only thing that exists are collectives. Death simply lets us know that individuality in and of itself doesn't exist ever. That's primarily why the death experience takes place, is that it's simply the nature of the self letting the ego as body know that in and of itself it doesn't exist as an idea or ideal, and yet we are convinced that it's otherwise. And so we never get past it or beyond it. According to the raw material, the last octave in which individuality is possible is the third octave of sixth density, because according to the raw, the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of light love, love light, and it's the only thing that you have is unification of an ideal back into its original state and condition. the most interesting vision that I have been given is that the only thing that exists, all of seventh density and the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth octave of sixth density are collectives that have ascended. They're the only thing that exists. There comes a point in the evolution of consciousness in which individuality as a state cannot evolve any further. And then those that are literally the third octave of sixth density find themselves with the daunting task, if they want to move beyond that, is they have to come back to third density and get involved in a social process in order to evolve beyond individuality. Pretty interesting, pretty nifty. It is a curious thing when we look at ideas, because there's lots of them in print. One of the things that I've learned is that every single idea that I have written down becomes outdated within a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. It becomes outdated because we're in a new state, we're in a new reality, we're in a new truth. Every moment there is a new state of being, a new reality, a new truth. And that is the way of existence. If we look at the movement of planet Earth, it rotates on its axis, it orbits the sun, the solar system rotates on an axis and has an orbit, the Milky Way galaxy rotates and orbits. You have those movements all taking place at the same time, which means that there is never a point or place in the history of existence where it's in the same place at the same time as the same state. That is an impossibility. It is always a new reality, a new truth, 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 and this never ends. It is infinite, eternal, complete, total within the composition or constitution of a state of consciousness, a state of existence, a state of being. So the curiosity is that why is it that within the composition or constitution of our life that we insist upon holding on to things as if that's the way that it's supposed to be, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia. And that doesn't even make sense. The simple fact of the matter is that I'm more conscious today than I was yesterday. I'm more conscious now than I was 10 years ago. I'm more conscious now than I was when I was born. Technically, I'm more conscious now than I was in my past life. And on it goes and on it goes and on it goes. And so it becomes a very curious thing when an individual holds on to the Rig Veda that's been in print for 4,000 years, the Bible that's been in print for 2,000 years, the Buddhist sutras that have been around for 2,500 years. And people decide to hold to that because the simple fact of the matter is that it only matters. It only makes sense if it moves us from one state of being into another. The one interesting thing about consciousness is the awareness of, and it can be anything at all. One of the really fun things to do is can an individual move his or her awareness from one state into another state, and then speed it up to where the next thing you know, an individual is literally a trillion states that they're becoming awareness all at the same time. Enough to blow your mind. Of course, if you use a gun, that's another way of blowing your mind too. But then it just means that you have to come back and do it over again, and you have to resolve that. See, this is what people don't realize, is we are all here to resolve the death experience. We are all here to resolve a sense of individuality at odds with all else. We are here to resolve any form of negativity, if that's the polarization that we're trying to overcome, so that we can have paths, purposes within the composition or combo. Or it's interesting to me within the context of the process that so few people on the surface of this planet are interested in resolving the death experience. Very, very few. Because I would offer the argument that if people were truly interested in overcoming pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide, that they would be listening to the sound of my voice. And as it stands right now, nobody listens to the sound of my voice, or they can't get away from me fast enough when I open up my mouth, because I say it can't be that real, it can't be that true, and I'm stuck. And death is a form of stuckness. And ascension is simply the opportunity to become universal within the context of a person's life, contributing at a universal level rather than a planetary level. It's kind of like we get our act together down here, and then we move on to a larger horizon or playing field. It's always and only time to play ball. Ah, yes. And so it's a curious thing, and it's a daunting thing also. Because a lot of people, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to address the circumstance or the condition. So it becomes a difficult thing at times. But the test that I give myself is, can I move from a negative idea? Can I move from a negative state? Can I move from a negative feeling in 5 minutes or less? That's the question. Can I do it? Sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not. And so it becomes an interesting thing. Because when we're looking at the process from the perspective of who we are, there's always something else to address in the context of our life, as it corresponds to the existence of God, as it corresponds to the realness of the universe. That's what I find is very useful. One of the things that I mentioned in the beginning of the show is that Neil Donald Walsh made the comment in Conversations with God, in the absence of that which is not, that which is not. So you have love and fear, you have light and dark, you have positive and negative, you have male and female, and that type of thing. You have abundance. You have, for every positive, in the raw material it says, and this is, I believe, on page 87 of volume 1 of the raw material, it says, every thought a person has an antithesis. Thesis to it. That's true for every emotion, every thought. There is the positive aspect of it, there's the negative, and they exist side by side, and they are inherent within the self. One of the things that's very, very useful for people to do is understand what oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected integration, and reintegration are as the composition of the self. Another way of understanding the composition of the self is presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, wholeness, godhood. Another is stillness, joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony. These are states that an individual can be within the composition of his or her life according to who they are. So it becomes an interesting process. It becomes an interesting technique. It's according to the raw material says that when you view something negative, move into its positive opposite. Actually, what is interesting is that an individual has to make proof and make peace with what they approve of and what they disapprove of within the composition of the self, what you approve and what you disapprove. It's the same thing within the composition of the life that we're living, is can we come to a point to where love is accepting and understanding of, light is even-minded and wise about, can we come to a point in our life in which there's only love that understands and accepts, light that is even-minded and wise about, and then there's the application of that in the health and welfare of others, so that within the composition or constitution of the planet, a person can understand what is stated in Conversations with God, which is this: nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. And to me, that's absolutely brilliant, given one's measure of the world. So the question is, why is it that we continually get frothing at the mouth of things, because all we do is we move into pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide as a response? It's just as easy for me to choose to feel joy about my life when I am faced and when I am faced with elements or aspects of pain. It's just as easy for me to choose to feel love as my life as it is for me to choose fear. It's just as easy for me to have compassion and patience rather than anger. It's just as easy for me to be accepting and tolerant of rather than to be hating of that I am. And so it moves to depression. It's just as easy for me to be content and happy as it is for me to be depressed. It's just as easy for me to ascend as it is for me to leave the body behind because I didn't get it about what human beingness is and does. According to the raw material, human beings live to be 900 years of age. According to the Bible, the same length of time, 900 years of age. So the question is that why is it that people live for such a short period of time? And the answer to that is simply this. In the beginning, people lived to be 900 years old, but people did not make the changes needed or necessary in 900 years, so it was shortened to 700 years, and this comes from the raw material. It was shortened to 350 years all the way down to 35 years because it was found that it was more useful within the composition or constitution of an individual to go through 35 years, have it end, and then come back for another 35 stint. We've moved from 35 years up to 75 to 100 years. I will live to be approximately 970 to 1,000 years old before I leave this planet. That's what I was shown when I was 5. I wasn't given an age, but in the work that I've done, the original design, which is the only thing that I'm interested in, lived to be 900 to 1,000 years old, and that's what I have come to understand about the length of age that I will live as a human being on this planet to simply demonstrate human beingness according to its design. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm not interested in false doctrine. I'm not interested in negative service polarity. I'm not interested in arbitrariness. I'm not interested in science, religion, education, business, politics, law, or medicine. I am not. I'm only interested in creating and manifesting within the context of my life that assists people in opening the heart, enlivening the body, fully activating the brain. Path is purpose, enlightenment, being a voice for God, life, human beingness. Path is purpose. I'm interested in knowing the self according to its design. I'm interested in serving others. I'm interested in collective ascension. I'm interested in intuition, psychic ability, channeling. I'm interested in manifesting with the conscious mind, healing, teaching, ascending as a way show, deliverer, healing servant. I'm interested in truth, beauty, goodness, stillness, peace, harmony, meditation, written and read books, vision boards. I'm interested in the self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating. I'm interested in the instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. I'm interested in ease of being, effortlessness. I'm interested in having a life that is truly comprehensive within the context of my life and time, and those things are involved when it comes to the health and welfare of others. These are the things that I'm interested in. These are the things that I spend my time working on. So it becomes a curious process. Because so many people on the surface of this planet are not interested in the things that I'm interested in pretty much at all. Common response to the sound of my voice when it gets to where I talk about stuff like this is I don't want to hear it, I don't understand it, I could care less about it. And I'll be perfectly honest, I'm absolutely fine with that. I said if an individual is more interested in going to the grave and having to reincarnate or repeating third density all over again, which means another 75,000 through 25,000 year cycles, go for it. By all means, take as long as you want. Eternity means take as long as you need to within the composition or constitution of your point of reference. And death simply means that there was a misguidance. Ascension simply means that an individual got with a program that worked so that within the context of a person's life, the life would work and work very, very well. Anyway, my name is Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap. This is Welcome to My Point of View. I am simply going to be talking about this stuff until it's time for me to get on with the process. And if people listen, great. If people don't, great. It's not a concern of mine because according to the raw material, if you have assisted one, you have assisted the entire creation, counting not the numbers. Anyway, I think what I'll do is I will go out with a song because I happen to like reggae and y'all have fun now you're here and thanks for listening.
Yeah! Right.